Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and this is the Limark Technical Net. Limark Technical Net has been going strong for over 43 years. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we all sit in front of our radios and try to inform each other, educate each other, learn from each other, and amuse each other. And I thank you all for coming again this Sunday night at 8 p.m. Let me drop for a second, and I will give you the usual links. Okay. Last week, we did a changeover as far as domains. I fixed the website, so you can click the linkable links. But, you know, it's up to you how you want to address it all. My mailbag address, email address, you could do the old way, do it mailbag at AC2GS, or you could do it Roy at LimarkTech.net. That would be either for questions that you can't reach the technical net for, or topics that you would like to discuss or be part of a discussion or hear a discussion, or technical puzzles, or if you have a NASA space-related story from some website or YouTube and you would like to hear what Paul thinks about it. Of course, you can address him directly. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. We also, as always, have links that I've cut and pasted for the last week, things that I find interesting. You can either go to the old link page, which is roy.ac2gs.com, or the new pop-free one, which is links.limarktech.net. We have a chat room available. It's been very quiet for a month or two. You can get there the old way by typing in chat.ac2gs.com. or the new way, which would be chat.limarktech.net. We have an audio stream of the Technical Net. I put it up for primarily the TechNet, but I leave it the rest of the week so you can listen to Glen Oaks if you have internet access but not a radio on you. And you can either use the old method, which is technet.ac2gs.com, or you can try the new one, which is stream.limarktech.net. And, of course, I like to remind people that Mike, KC2NJI, has a great archive site called amateurradio.tv. It has archives of the Technical Net that go as far back as September of 2006. Let me drop for a sec. Well, tonight, as per usual, we will be asking for questions of a technical nature. I would prefer the early questions to be amateur radio related, since this is an amateur radio Technical Net. But, as always, we will address any science or technical subject that anyone comes up with to the best of our ability, and if we can't give you a good answer, maybe we can suggest some references of where else to look. As I've mentioned in the past, I am investigating the field of home electronic control, different devices. I have something called a Hubitat hub controller for Z-Wave and Zigbee technology devices. I just bought a Sonos smart speaker, which I'm having do all kinds of tricks and asking it Klaatu, Barada, Nikto, and it has actually answers for that question. So that's going to be the plan for tonight. I will take names and call signs. We'll try to address it in order, except if some people have a non-amateur radio-related question, we'll try and move that towards the end of the list. That should take us to 10:15, in which Paul WS2N will come on with the SpaceNet report, and that'll take us to about 11 p.m., and I'll return to tie a little bow on top and wish you all a safe and happy week. That's the plan, if the universe allows me. So with that all in mind, I will drop and ask if anyone has any questions or comments or topics for discussion tonight.
KD2VHD, Jim in Bayport.
N2HGN, non-ham radio related.
Okay, Jim and Wesley recognized. Anyone else want to put their name down on the list for tonight? Okay, maybe a little bit later some people will return or think of something. So, Jim, what can I do for you for tonight?
So you mentioned the Sonos Bluetooth speaker, and it brought up in my mind what I'm working on is a Megaboom speaker from Ultimate Ears, which is a subsidiary of Logitech, I believe. And I had the battery go bad, and I looked for a replacement all over the webs that I could find, and everything was just some version of generic Chinese replacements. I couldn't find a good source for some sort of legitimate replacement battery that had reputable cells installed, and as I've learned, is a good thing to do. And I'm curious, is that what everybody faces when they do these replacement batteries for things of that nature, or is there any better sources?
Okay, I mean, as far as I'm aware, unfortunately, no. You know, bad stuff pushes out good stuff. Cheap stuff pushes out expensive stuff. The Chinese have been infamous for at least the last 15 years. I'm aware of it. They flood the market with ticky-tacky, low-quality but very low-priced products, destroy the industry, and then bring out a better, more expensive equipment after that. I've seen them do it with humidifiers. I've seen them do it with little display stands. I've seen them do it with a bunch of other things. And they kind of do it with batteries, especially lithium-ion-based batteries. 9 times out of 10, the lithium-ion battery that people buy is made in China. If you go for a name brand, occasionally it might be from Korea, it might be from some other Asian country, but if it's certainly not a name brand, it's almost definitely going to be Chinese. So no, I feel your pain, Jim. It's happening to all of us.
Well, thanks for the info. I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something, but that's unfortunate. Well, thank you for the info. Back to that.
Okay, very good. It's unfortunate. Recently, COVID and the supply problems that the world had has woken everyone up, and everyone sort of has decided that, shipping it across the world, one supplier is probably not a good idea. So, as I'm sure you've heard, they're building fabrication centers in the United States. They'll be building battery manufacturing facilities in the United States. Problem is the raw ingredients still come from the same place for the most part. But nevertheless, I wish I had a simple, easy solution for you, Jim, but what can I tell you? The idea, I guess, is ultimately to find a Chinese manufacturer that has a good reputation. It's very difficult because Chinese companies change their name every 10 minutes. I saw that happen early on. Handy talkies, everyone and their brother had a Baofeng, had a Waxon. Then all of a sudden there were about 110 other brands that looked identical to either a Waxon or a Baofeng because it was the same factory and just changed the brand overnight. So it's very difficult to find a Chinese brand that doesn't kind of disappear in the night. There are some major companies. DJI makes great drones and such, and so you can kind of rely on them. But I'm not really familiar with the battery industry, if there's a similar version of DJI-like high-quality company in China that makes lithium ions. They tend to be kind of generic manufacturers of these things. A lot of times you'll buy from intermediaries that get it from China, but they don't really tell you where they source it, and you have to rely on them. I'm thinking of my lithium iron phosphate batteries, which are sourced from China someplace. But, the intermediary apparently it keeps it high quality. I haven't heard any really nasty things about those batteries ever.
It's certainly quite the interesting marketplace. We'll see where it goes, I suppose, but it seems quite treacherous.
Yeah, it's a bit of Russian roulette, if you'll accept the mixed metaphor. Sometimes, I've known people who've bought cheap stuff from China and were very happy with it. I've known people who bought cheap stuff from China and were very upset about it. I've known some guys who just buy 10 microphone elements for a buck, and two of the 10 elements are good, so they consider it a bargain and they throw out the other 8. So yeah, it's a bit of a gamble. It depends upon if you think you're lucky. If you're feeling really lucky, then so be it. And also, if you don't mind waiting about a month or so to get it. Otherwise, stay local and rely on the retailer or the intermediary who is getting this stuff from China. You know, if they are legitimate and they stand behind it, you have a chance.
I have seen that a couple times when you get a product that is not as advertised through like Amazon. And if you can show them the documentation of where they're completely wrong in their advertising, they literally will say, all right, here's your money back, keep it. We ain't even going to bother sending it back. So there is that, but it doesn't help really in the long term.
No, but it is better than losing your money because there are other agencies out there that just take the money and run. I had a similar problem. I bought through Amazon. It was a Chinese manufacturer. It was supposed to be a cooling gel pad. In other words, it's a sealed plastic container that has a thermoplastic gel that dissipates heat. You put it under your pillow. I've had those before, but they kind of age, and you have to throw them away. And it definitely said that it was a gel pad. And when it arrived a month later, they were inflatable water balloons. So I complained to Amazon, and they said, fine, throw it away. We'll send you your money back. So, yeah, that's why, although they're not the greatest people to work for, apparently, they're very good as retailers. I use them for most of my purchases these days.
I use them for far more than I'd like to, but they generally perform pretty well. It's pretty remarkable. This silly battery was here the next day and put it in the unit and it worked. Gonna stay working? Who knows?
AC2GS. Well, I mean, you can't beat convenience. The price isn't too bad, and it's incredibly, ridiculously convenient. I go on my iPad, I press a couple of virtual buttons, and the next day the package arrives, usually. Occasionally the package arrives empty. Occasionally the package arrives with someone who obviously took a box cutter to the top of the envelope and removed the contents. But again, if you are able to actually contact a human being in Amazon, they make it all good.
They do definitely provide a service. You got to give them that.
Yes, indeed. There was someone else who tried to transmit. You want to do that again now?
It wasn't me, but I'll try. King Bravo 2 Alpha Alpha Paul, comment about Amazon.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, just to let you know, Amazon, I'm really happy with the service. I mean, like I said, they're really on top of things. But be careful because sometimes you'll get a call or a text on your phone that somebody went and ordered something from Amazon. That is not Amazon. Just wanted to put that out there. They never send you a text about a suspicious account or anything that they make you think that they're being sincere from Amazon, but they're not with Amazon at all. I just wanted to run that by you. Because you're talking about Amazon. And this is John down here in Florida. Back to that control. Back to you, Roy.
Good to hear you, John. That's not the only. This is, for the most part, this goes on at Indian and Pakistani call centers. They will identify themselves as many things, Social Security, IRS, Microsoft Incorporated, antivirus companies. There's a whole bunch of scams. I used to watch them on YouTube until they became very redundant. There apparently is maybe one or two guys that write all the scripts for these guys. And one of the many things is, yeah, you'll get a call. They'll say they're from Amazon. They'll say that you've just been billed for a purchase that you made over the internet for a watch for $2,000, and if you didn't buy the watch, which obviously you didn't, you should call them back at their number, in which they try and pull all kinds of scams. They fake that they paid you back more than the $2,000 that you didn't really pay them for the watch, and now you have to pay them back for the extra that they made you think they paid you. Like, you know, they'll have you go into some strange bank account, and they'll say that they need you to transfer the $2,000, and they'll say, "My God, you transferred $22,000. We need our $20,000 back." So you go to Walmart and buy gift cards for $2,000, and then read us the numbers, or something equally absurd like that. So there's lots of grifters and con artists out there. So don't trust any you know, major companies. Don't really call you up and do that. They have other methods. So thank you for pointing that out, John.
Okay, Roger. I called there because I'm on a calling. Okay, very good. I just put my 2 cents in there and just sit back and join in it. Good evening, all.
Okay, very good. Thank you for participating. Once again, I'm AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Limark Technical Net, and we're here to talk technology. Wesley is waiting with a non-amateur radio question. I'm just wondering if anyone out there has some amateur radio-type questions or topics for discussion that they would like to discuss today.
WS2I. N2VH, Zmobile in Nebraska with a question.
Ah, welcome, Ken. Paul was kind of first, so let me first take Paul, and then I'll get to you real soon, because I realize that at any moment you could be driving out of cell tower location. So, Paul, what's your comment?
Okay, well, it'll take him, you know, a minute or two. If he's going to be mobile, go back to him. Back to you, Roy.
Okay. Well, Paul has graciously given you his slot. So, Ken, what do you have to say to tonight? I hope you're doing well.
Thank you for the kind words. I'm recovering from lower lumbar surgery. Yes, well, it's to be expected. Question about the Kings County Amateur Club net on Sunday morning. Are they still on 28.380? The band, 10-meter band, reopening, and I was curious, is the 10-meter net still on? Because I didn't hear it in the last couple of weeks. Thank you.
Oh, that's a good question. Theoretically, it is still on. In practical terms, unfortunately, I don't know if I've mentioned it on the technical net, my primary radio is a Flex 6700, which I really love. It has, you know, it's a kind of a special software-defined radio. It has two hardware transceivers. Each of those is capable of operating as four virtual receivers, so I can listen on eight bands and, you know, transmit alternately on two different antennas. Unfortunately, it's about 85% computer and 15% radio. So unlike, most computers, the fans went on me and I had to have them replaced. They happened to be glued on to expensive integrated circuits that I did not want to destroy. So I sent it back to Austin and I should be getting it back sometime this week. And I've been off the 10-meter net, unfortunately, for a month waiting for them to get around to fixing things. But hopefully next Sunday I will be back there, and hopefully you will hear me. Theoretically, Howard, KD2MSU, is supposed to be running it, but, you know, sometimes he has a very short version of the net, and if you blink, you might miss it.
Okay. Thank you for that answer. I understand what you're saying. Very good, and appreciate it. I'm driving down Highway 2 at an eastbound in Nebraska. Thank you very much. I'll be listening. N2PH, the mobile on the side.
Okay, very good, Ken. I wish you well, and I hope maybe I'll be able to talk to you next Sunday when I return to the 10-meter net. I look forward to that. I understand that 10 meters is significantly better than when I left it a month ago. So have a safe ride. Paul, what would you like to say?
Okay, I just wanted to talk a minute about the school roundup that starts this week. You know, Limark is a sponsor of the school roundup. That's where kids in different schools start transmitting away during these 5 days. In this case, it'll be starting tomorrow, Monday through Friday. They do it twice a year, and they also do it in February. But this one starts tomorrow, and they have different bands that they go on. They don't use the repeaters, so it's primarily HF, and they do have some simplex frequencies for 2 meters, but they don't use the 5.2. They don't use the glowing frequency. But the HF bands, there's a list of them if you look up the school roundup. But the most common ones are 80 meters, 40 meters, and 20 meters. And for phone, I find most of the time they're on phone, but they do CW as well. But on phone, it's for 80 meters, it's 3.850 to 3.880. So you got a 30 spread on that. You'll also find them on 40 meters. That's where I would look. It's mostly daytime. They're schools, and 80 meters tends to open up late. So mostly you would find them, I would say, on 40 meters, which is 7.225 to 7.255, as well as 20 meters, although my 20-meter capability is not too good. But they're on 20 meters as well, from 14.250 to 14.280. On CW as well, and they're on 80 meters from 3.530 to 3.540, and 40 meters is 7.30 and 7.40. That's the one I really want to try. I got to get somebody on CW for the school roundup, and it's sponsored by the ARRL, and Limark is our club. Is Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club is the primary one behind it, and I know Lou and 2RQ handles it, pretty much for the club over the years, and he's always talking about it. So, I heard about it on the last week's ClubNet, and they'll probably talk about it again, in the next couple of nets as well, definitely tomorrow. Back to you, Roy, WS2M.
Okay, very good. I hope people make the attempt to communicate. We need youngsters to be interested in the hobby. We need young adults to be interested in the hobby. We need everyone to be interested in the hobby. It's grown to the largest number it's ever had based simply on FCC licenses. FCC, I don't think, records, people who passed away, just the number of people registered in their database, and I think it's gone up to about 800,000. Most of them are technicians, and a lot of them, I think, are preppers that just kind of get a tech license, get a Balfung, and then put it in their desk drawer, and they're done with the hobby. But still, so keep amateur radio alive and try to make contact with these school children and give them a good experience that will light a little fire out there.
Yeah, that's true. The exchange for them. It's a call sign, signal report, 59 or 599, if you're doing CW. And then their class, they have the individual, and then the club, or the school. Mostly the school, I guess. So you'll probably hear that. And I guess they call, school roundup, CQ, I would assume. And that's what I wanted to let you know. I know the last couple of years that, you listen to the club that, and the last couple of years that they've been doing better, more and more schools apparently getting involved in this. Some of them are pretty good. The operators, they're young people, and you can't believe they're, you know, they you know, maybe 14 years old and they're going away like they really know what they're doing. Anyway, back to you, Roy. WS2N.
Okay, very good. This is AC2GS. Yeah, you got to get people involved, got to get people interested. Unfortunately, very few people remember amateur radio. Sometimes you'll talk to a young person and say, yeah, my grandfather used to talk to a radio in the basement or the attic or something, talk to his friends across the world. Just the last week, Coney Island had a Makers Fair, and my other club decided to put on a little demonstration for them. So I hope they interested some people in the hobby. I wrote up a little brochure to hand out to the crowd. So we'll see if we've captured any makers into the hobby as time progresses. So if you have the opportunity, share your love of this hobby with other people. A lot of people don't even know that it exists, and discovery might change their life. It certainly did me. If you would have told me 11 years ago when I decided, what the hell, I might as well go for the test, that I'd be sitting here doing this, I would have thought you were crazy.
Okay, very good.
Thomas?
Yeah, and when you're younger, you never figure that you'd be doing something like this. Well, I came to it. Well, I had CB at a young age. We'll talk about 14 in that time frame. And then with that, an actual CB license, well, actually at that age, we couldn't have it. You had to be 18. So your parents had to have it. You know, you'd have to have a parent with the actual call. But then you would... then it was legal to use the radios, but ham radio was a long way off for me at that time. But I'm glad I did it. Back to you, Rick.
Yeah, I came from the shortwave listening branch of the hobby. My perspective on the hobby, certainly back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, where there were usually three branches. You either were a shortwave listener like me, or you were a CBer like you, or you had gotten out of the armed forces as part of the Signal Corps, and you had caught the bug there. So nowadays, that usually isn't the case. CBers kind of stick around CB, the few that remain. Shortwave listening is few and far between. There are some, but not many. And I don't know if that many people coming out of the Signal Corps go into the hobby anymore. So it's curious. I think I heard someone trying to get in. If you were trying to get in with a comment, please try again.
ADTDU.
Yes, Alex.
I had a question earlier, a comment on the battery discourse, not on the schools. If you want me to just say the question, I can. ADTDU.
Yeah, sure.
So about where to buy stuff, I got a battery pack for the TX500 that takes 18650 cell flat top. Is there a preferred vendor for 18650, or can I just get whatever on Amazon? And flat top versus button top, we have a drop. I had another type of battery come with a little magnet that used as the button top. For a flat top battery, does everyone just buy flat tops and convert them to button tops, or do you buy two separate types of 18650?
Okay, well, I'll answer the second one first, and the first one second. I've never really, unfortunately, had that bad a kludge. I look at the images of the cells and make sure that they're button top. Just about all of mine are button top. There are batteries that come flat, and usually they're also flat and with a tab that's solderable, that's welded onto it for other purposes. I would try, putting a magnet on top of it is a real kludge. They tend to be chrome plated, but I don't know how good the chrome plating is. So now you have a slight resistance between your device and your battery. So if at all possible, I would try and get one that doesn't require a magnet to be stuck on the side of it. As far as the first question, it depends upon, again, whether you want to be feel lucky or not, and if you want to pay a little extra. You can get name brand versions of that cell usually you can rely on known brand vendors to have good quality. Generic batteries can be anything, and the capacity in milliamp hours can be a delusion. I almost never believe high-end capacity, no-name brand batteries. They're usually making it up in the same way that there are a bunch of USB thumb drives that supposedly have a terabyte of memory, and you can get it for about $16. But, of course, they don't have a terabyte of memory. If you're lucky, they have about 32 megabytes of memory. So, as far as batteries go, I tend to pay a little bit extra to get name brand batteries. Not that I'm a fanboy, but I think you have less of a risk of being completely taken that way.
Yeah, I didn't see name brands for the 18650 on Amazon. I don't know if they're just running low. For capacity-wise, it looked like around 3,000 to 3,500 milliamp hours are like what an honest big 18650 battery has, and then some are just advertised at 9,000.
Yeah, it sort of depends on the battery type. Some battery types have a lot more brand name manufacturers than others. If you can't find a retailer that sells any brands that you know, try and get the ones with a spec that's believable. You know, like the 9,000, you know the 9,000's nonsense. Now, is the 9,000 the same as the others? Maybe. Is it possible that the 9,000 is actually about a 1,000 milliamp hours? Yeah, it's possible. If they're going to lie, they might want to lie big. You know, that one terabyte USB thumb drive that usually is something like 32 gigs, sometimes it's only 10 gigs. So, so it depends on how greedy or whatever that thief has in his storage. And, it doesn't cost that much to relabel batteries. So if you can't go with a name brand, go with reasonable specs and try and find something that's been reviewed a lot of times. You can't go by a couple of reviews because almost every manufacturer basically cheats. I've gotten things that said, would you like a 5% discount? Send in Amazon 5-star review and we'll give you some money.
My other related question is, if I've got a battery charger, when you get the 18650, the mystery from Amazon, you put it on the battery charger, what am I looking at? The volts to see how close to 1.5 it is?
No, usually the only thing that's going to tell you is the recharge percentage of the battery, and if they've completely lied to you and they've given you an alkaline bath.
I think it cut out at the word alkaline, at least for me. 82 to you, over.
Let me try one more time. Okay, I'm back again. All-Star every so often forgets about me. Let's see if I can remember what I was yammering on about. It's the voltage that you read is not going to tell you a heck of a lot. It can tell you to a degree what the amount of discharge the battery has gone, because the way battery chemistry works, as it gets discharged, its voltage output decreases. So it's not going to tell you about quality. The important thing about quality when it comes to lithium ions is the storage capacity. And for that, you need equipment, you probably pick it up for $100 or less, that actually discharges the battery and calculates what the approximate capacity is. And the capacity is kind of a very creative concept because the amount of energy that you extract from a battery is not a constant, but is very strongly related with how slowly you drain it. If you slowly drain it, you will get more energy out of it than if you have a heavy load that drains it quickly. So, you know, even though it's stamped with a particular number, chances are that that's a real approximation.
Got it. So basically just try them out. I don't need battery testing equipment in my two-bedroom apartment. I got enough radio junk. But that's interesting. So you can't test it with a voltmeter or anything, right?
Okay, let's try it again. Okay, hopefully people hear me.
I hear you. Talk a little, say a couple sentences. Slight scratch on the voice. Can I get your back through RF, not the all-star notes? You sound perfectly intelligible.
Okay, I don't know. All-star is acting very, very wonky for some very strange reason. I agree with you. It's not cost-effective for you to go off and test a bunch of batteries. You do what most people end up doing. You use the battery. If it lasts as long as you feel is reasonable, you continue to use it. If it kind of runs out of juice after an hour, then you swear some things under your mouth about the manufacturer and get another one someplace else. But again. Thankfully, I have not really heard too many horror stories when it comes to batteries, except for capacity. The only way that most people cheat other people with batteries is by overstating the labeled capacity. And you discover that rather quickly when you're using the darn batteries.
W2BZ?
Yes, Rich.
I don't think... on Amazon, if they were selling thumb drives that were supposed to be a terabyte and they're really 32 gigabytes. I mean, if Amazon got 5 complaints like that, I think they would be gone.
You would think so, but I happen to have watched a YouTube from a very reputable individual who likes to kind of show this scam off a lot. And, of course, he did Amazon .co, .uk. He's British. And he showed the ad. It was a third party. Amazon does not stock everything it sells. It sometimes operates as an intermediary. And so he ordered... I don't know. It's very weird. It's denying the note. It's acting out really strange. Getting back, Rich, did you hear anything that I told you about this poor guy from England?
I forgot what the last word I heard. I heard a couple of sentences. Said it was from England, and that's about it. Go ahead.
We'll try it again, and hopefully All-Star won't completely do weird things. He bought it through a third party from Amazon in England. He showed it in the video. It tested out to not be 1 terabyte, to be 32 gigabytes. He posted a very negative review on Amazon, and something like a week or so later, Amazon emailed him and told him that Amazon had contacted the seller, and the seller had assured Amazon that the product was legitimate, so they were going to delete this gentleman's review and to have a nice day.
Boy, that's just not my experience with Amazon. I have a 100%, except for one time I did order something, but here's how honest I think Amazon is. I once ordered something that it was an Xbox S. is $250. I didn't realize I wasn't buying it from Amazon, and the company that I did buy it from refused. It broke, this Xbox X, and they refused to send me a return shipping label. So I told Amazon this, and Amazon said I could keep the Xbox S and not return it, and they would credit me for the full amount. So that was, for me, an example of my experience with Amazon and their customer service. I would never buy anything from Amazon unless it said, sold by Amazon. Sold by Amazon. Those are the key words, Roy. But I don't think if a bunch of people complained about a product not living up to a specification, I don't think that vendor is going to be around that long.
Well, I wish that you were true and correct. I know that in your case, you benefited from Amazon. I have as well. Occasionally, I will come across some third party at Amazon where you try and get credit for something, and they say, this is a non-returnable item. I guess it depends upon the relationship they have with the third party. Look, it is common sense. No one in their right mind sells a terabyte thumb drive for less than, say, $90. So anyone selling it for $16, there's something terribly wrong. I realize that a lot of Amazon is automated. It's very difficult to talk to a human being. But this type of larceny is all over the place. I am sure anyone sitting down, just Google 1 terabyte USB thumb drive, and you will inevitably come up with some sellers on Amazon that are selling it for under $20. And you can simply not do that. It costs you more to manufacture the thing. So Amazon, unfortunately, seems to have a couple of blind spots to it.
When you do a return with Amazon, it asks you to put in the reason why you're returning it and comments. You know? And so everybody has to put in comments on why they're returning something. And if they got a, whether they're having algorithms look at these comments or human beings look at these comments, I think if they consistently got comments, and they would, that, you know, this is a third of the capacity that they advertise on Amazon, I just don't think, not my experience with Amazon, I don't think they would be able to do that very long. I don't think vendors are able to lie to the public for very long on Amazon. That's been my experience, anyway.
AC2GS. Okay. Look, you have your opinion. I have mine, and I also have the guy's YouTube, and I also, I've kind of done that with Amazon. I'm telling you, if you have nothing better to do someday this week, go to Amazon, search for a 1 terabyte USB thumb drive. It might not be on the first page, it might not be on the second page, but if you go down enough pages, you're going to find some guy saying that he's going to sell it to you for $18 or $16 or some such, and that's just a lie. So I don't know what to tell you. There's also a problem with these overrated USB drives is if you're very naive about everything, you might not notice. Because if you stick these things into a computer, it will tell you that it has a terabyte of capacity available, and you can transfer a terabyte of data onto that device because of the nature of the way thumb drives work. If you try to retrieve most of that information, it won't exist because there was no place to put it. But it wouldn't become immediately apparent that you were conned. But these cons have existed for at least a couple of years. It was very easy for people to be able to rewrite the USB chip to identify as anything they want to, including the amount of memory size. And so it is a well-known con. It started off on eBay, of course, but it's bled into Amazon, unfortunately.
ADC.
Well, the one area that I might agree with you on is I ordered just this week a therapeutic cream for nerve damage that this one vendor was advertising, and it didn't work, or it worked very, very minimally. And so immediately I started a return with that Amazon, and they said it was not, it's a non-returnable item because, you know, it's a cream, you know, you touched it physically, but just keep it and we'll refund you the money. So they can't test every product, but was this the only guy selling a terabyte thumb drive for $16? If that's the case, then, you know, I don't have any sympathy for a buyer who picks out the one guy who's selling it for, you know, for a third of the price or whatever it was. So, do you know, are there other people up there with $16 terabyte thumb drives?
Yes, there are others. I can't say there are thousands, but there are a bunch of others. It isn't just one guy. You might have to go through the first few pages because Amazon tends to tweak the results for bestsellers and such. But if you go down to enough pages, you'll see a bunch of them. And also, Amazon, unfortunately, it's very difficult. It's almost an art to be able to talk to a real human being at Amazon. They keep you with not even artificial intelligence, but very simple phrases. You mentioned that you can specify things. You really can't specify things. You get a drop-down menu, or you get a row of buttons that you can press, and that's about it. Recently, I mentioned that I got a package where it looked like someone had used a box cutter to slit the top open, removed the product, and delivered the package. And there was no way of me telling people what had happened, because the choices were it was damaged or it didn't arrive. Now, theoretically, the package arrived, it just didn't have anything in the package. So I needed one that said the package is empty, and I couldn't find one. Matter of fact, I ended up complaining to a bunch of people, and about 2 weeks later, I had another problem, and sure enough, one of the options was the package is empty. So maybe they actually listen to you when you actually reach a human being. Another strange thing go with Amazon. I ordered something that was going to be shipped, of course, from China. So it took about 14 days to ship from China, and it said, okay, it cleared duty. It was given to the United States Postal Service. They delivered it Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock to my mailbox. It's not in my mailbox. So I contacted Amazon with a human being, and I was told that, well, UPS, United States Postal System actually lies. When it's stuck in duty, it just acts as though it wasn't stuck in duty and tells you falsely that they delivered it. And according to her records, it should come to my house tomorrow afternoon, not Friday, previous Friday. So, strange things happen.
Yeah, but you'll get it. You'll get it, and if you don't, they'll send another one for your charge. I have not had one. I've had one bad experience, and that's because I ordered from a third party, directly from a third party, not through Amazon. And I mean, I just bought something which was here today that I'm sending back. I do mostly electronic stuff, and if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, it gets sent back right away. And I can always get them on the phone. I have a telephone number. Let's see. That you have to, yeah, you have to answer a couple of bot questions, you know, in the right way, and you get somebody right away. That number is 888-280-4331. Is that 4331 or 4231? No, it's 888-280-4331. Okay, so if anybody wants to call Amazon, they do have a robot answering the phone, but if you know how to talk to it within 30 seconds, you could have a human being on the phone.
Okay, thanks, Rich. My method is you go to the bottom of the page. It says help. It says do you need more help? You say I need more help, and eventually you more help yourself into a phone call, and you hit the button, and the phone rings, and you talk to the people. So that's my method. Before I discovered that method, unfortunately, I Googled help desk telephone number Amazon. And some clever bastard basically faked it and had a product advertisement wired to that telephone number. So you call an 800 number, and it starts to tell you about different non-Amazon products it would like you to consider. So I found that both amusing and annoying simultaneously.
I wonder if anybody else listening has had a bad experience with Amazon. I haven't heard of any, except, what you said about the thumb drive. Nobody to me complains about Amazon. I wonder if anybody else listening on the TechNet has had a bad experience with Amazon.
ADTDU?
Yes, Alex.
So the thing I commonly see on Amazon, I have a dirty weakness for buying $15 AM/FM radios. And the thing I see is that the reviews are not for the product picture. So they'll use like a basket or something to get 5 stars, and then they'll switch it to a new radio releasing to come out with 5 stars. But I haven't had a problem in terms of like you can schedule a call back now or with customer service, or they'll. They just refund me the money. They do it pretty quickly and pretty reliably. Maybe I just spend too much money on Amazon. I'm sure they have our life value pulled up as soon as we call ADTDU.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I haven't lost any money. I don't trust their reviews. I believe that this guy's legitimate review was deleted. I believe that they delete reviews if their merchants yell and scream loudly enough. I don't believe the reviews on a lot of levels. I try not to go on 5-star reviews or 1-star reviews. 5-star reviews too often are fake. You know, it's either customers being given a discount or other people being paid to leave reviews. And the 1-star review is almost always kind of gets down to the point of the guy just doesn't know how to turn the damn machine on. So his ignorance really annoyed the heck out of him. Or occasionally, you know, you get a bad product. You turn it on, it doesn't work. These things have been known to happen. So you run to Amazon and you give it 1-star. So I tend to look at the 4s and the 3s and the 2s. And to kind of do my own little BS adjustments there, because you know, certainly don't go when you're looking for a product and you see that the first review is 5 stars. That's all well and good, but that doesn't really give you a good idea of what's going on.
82 AOB.
Yes.
I have a question regarding Amazon. Well, I've had a bad experience with Amazon. I guess it's just the question of the price of a transaction. Mine was $600, and it was a couple years ago. I don't remember all the details, so don't quote me on that. But I didn't have to contact their customer service. I believe they didn't refund me, but they took the package back and sent a new one. But it took a while, quite a while. In terms of constantly reaching out to a real human being, what I started to do, and it works kind of 60-70% of the time, I would just talk over the robotic voice and just say customer agent. or customer service representative just over the, and the system gets confused, and they will be like, oh, let me transfer it to somebody who can help you. My understanding is a lot of the merchandise or a lot of the products on Amazon are being sourced wholesale from AliExpress and get rebranded, repackaged, and sell at a margin in the United States. And I kind of just found out you can buy directly from AliExpress for twice as cheap. Is that a way to go?
Well, it depends on whether or not you want to play a little Russian roulette. I have bought things from AliExpress. Again, it takes about a month for it to arrive. And for the most part, I've never really invested expensive equipment. There was this one guy on YouTube that I think actually bought a motorcycle that way. I would never do something like that. But yeah, you can buy it directly. I still get almost every day email from AliExpress promoting different little gadgets and gotchas. The last thing I got from AliExpress, there are these interesting little LEDs with inductors wrapped around their base. And they also sell a small RF transmitter that locally lights up the LEDs. So the idea is for model makers who want to have their models kind of glow in the dark and have lights, but they don't want to have wires, you mount these wound inductor-based LEDs at strategic places. At the base, you have a loop antenna putting out a low level of RF, and all the LEDs light up. So I was able to get
it's a month. Amazon, when they take an extra long time with me, that's 5 days. But usually I get it either the next day and I'm willing to pay for that rather than waiting a month for a product. But one other thing I wanted to say about Amazon, and I forgot it right now, but it's fairly easy to get a human being on the phone with them. So I forgot what it is I wanted to say. But anyway, back to you, Roy.
Well, easy is in mind of you know. When I get a robot on the phone, unfortunately at this point, my go-to is to just have a stream of obscenities. Because text-to-speech, you know, speech-to-text, whatever, it doesn't really deal with profanities well. And it seems to be the best way for me to have myself bounced right out of the computer program into a person on a telephone, probably in the Philippines or India or Pakistan as such. But they're very polite, very nice people. I prefer human beings to very badly written bots.
The one thing I remember now what I wanted to say. I just ordered something a couple of days ago, got it today. It was not acceptable to me. I just went through, I went online and issued a return. They have UPS pick it up tomorrow. I don't even have to bring it to a Staples store or any other place. They have free of charge UPS picking up this product. So, I mean, I buy from them with complete peace of mind. And yes, you know, they do charge a little bit more. You could find the same stuff some places on the internet, you know, for less, but try to return stuff. It's a horror to try to return anything. So you have to threaten to get your credit card company involved and all that stuff. None of that with Amazon. Anyway, Roy, just to change the subject really quick, and if anybody's listening who knows, I wondered if somebody could tell me how the low bands are doing, how HF is doing propagation-wise, because I spoke to a friend of mine from Wyoming last night who said 10 meters is wide open, and even at night. So I just wondered how the low bands are doing. whenever you get around to it, Roy. Back to you.
Yeah, okay. I think we kind of did this, and ALP, thanks for your comment. Yeah, I mean they do all kinds of things. A lot of it, somehow they stock at these warehouses. A lot of the stuff that I order is sitting there in Staten Island. Occasionally, they have to ship